Thank you, Kevin. Please help us welcome Joey.
What's up, family? My name is Joey. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope about relationships. My sobriety date is June 2nd of 2013. So I say that because that's probably the day where this whole process started for me beginning to build non-toxic relationships. You know what I mean? Build relationships that meant something, that had value to me. Part ways from all the toxic relationships. You know what I'm saying? It's weird because my story, when I tell my full story, I always make sure to make it clear that the relationship with my family today is so pure and so beautiful because throughout my past growing up, I secluded myself from my family due to my alcoholism, right? Because it was more important for me to get loaded. So I'm the guy that chose alcohol over his mom, dad, siblings, nieces, nephews, education, career, all those things, right? God, right? Like that was my God. Alcohol was my God. That's what I praised to. So throughout that, like any relationship that I had, I could truly say might have helped me gain some type of experience and helped me walk through life a little bit or whatever. But I could truly say that those relationships, man, I don't know. It's hard to look back on them. It's hard to look back on them and compare them to the relationships that I've built throughout my recovery because of how great they've been, right? Throughout the amazing people that we get to become and watch others become and stuff like that. There's just something about this whole process that's amazing. But yeah, man, so this, all of it is based off of my relationship with God. If I say God, I mean higher power if you struggle with that. I'm just gonna say God to keep it quick, you know? But I had to build a relationship with that God of my own understanding to love myself, to truly remove everything about myself that I hated when I came into these rooms, why I was so broken, everything that I have done, everything that I had to take out of the way, whether it was through prayer, inventory, amends, meditation, sponsoring other men, going over that shit all over again, by sponsoring men, because basically just sharing my experience of the steps of what me working them with them, building a relationship with them, right? Doing what was freely given to me, having that vulnerable moment with another man, which is like something I never thought I would do. I came into these rooms, like even hugging a dude was not appealing to me. That's not what we do where I'm from. You know what I mean? We don't hug each other and shit like that. That's how it is. So that was kind of weird to me, but I did it because I was willing to go to any length to stay sober, right? And like those relationships with those men who hugged me, you know what I mean? There's even men in this room from day one that remember, you know what I mean, that I met when I was in treatment in like 2012. And it's crazy to me because they're still around and stuff. And I love those men for being there and setting that path before me. But yeah, so the process of getting a sponsor, working the steps, being a part of a home group, building a relationship with those people, like building a relationship with all the program, it's important that I identify with that because let me tell you something, like that family-oriented man that I get to be today, it came from that. You know what I'm saying? Like the relationship that I have with my God today, the relationship that I have with my worth today, it came from all of that. It came from that work. It came from the thoroughness and honesty that I put into my step work, man, from trying to heal from that broken heart, from trying to heal from being a just complete dirtbag my whole life. You know what I'm saying? And not wanting to be that man anymore, or that little boy, right? And it's beautiful. It's beautiful that I get to be here. You know, relate, like I said, like those all relationships have some type of value and purpose to me, right? And I can fall short in any way, even in recovery, man. Even as a son, or a brother, you know, or even as a friend or a sponsor, right? Like, I'm bound to fail, you know what I mean, at some point. I'm bound to fall short, and I know that, and that's okay. But I can own my own shit, you know what I mean? And if you guys really want to discuss women, I always fall short with women. I'm not good with women at all. My relationships, that's the toxicity that I drug into sobriety with me from, you know what I mean, every time I had pretty much gotten with women, because, man, I don't know what healthy is. You know what I mean? I don't know what healthy looks like. I know what healthy feels like, but that's because I experience and know what unhealthy feels like. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? And I know that today in my life, I don't have to settle. You know what I mean? I don't have to settle. I don't have to just put aside what I think my worth is for some temporary feel good. Fuck that. I didn't get sober for that. You know what I'm saying? I got sober to be happy, joyous, free. I found freedom in these rooms by building relationships with men like you guys. I found freedom in these rooms from having that relationship with my God. I found freedom in these rooms from having the relationship with the people who, like one of you gentlemen has said, with the people who love me before I could love myself, right? Like, it's always such a cliche thing to say, or you hear it all the time in the rooms, but it's so fucking true. It's so honest. You know what I mean? For me, it was. My experience was, I came in so broken, I wasn't able to give love, I wasn't able to receive love. Like, love was non-existent in my life. It was just a word. It was nothing that I could truly say I had experience of. But, like, gaining that experience, learning to love throughout these rooms is... it's awesome, man, and that's what my God is. It's unconditional love, you know? That's what it is currently. Who knows if that'll change, you know? Who knows if I'll jump into some crazy religion one day, you know what I mean? Cool if I do, but you know what I mean? Right now, it's unconditional love, man. I struggle, man. I struggle with relationships, and I try not to be specific on specific relationships that I struggle with, but my current... last relationship was fucked, and you know what I mean? Truly fucked, man, and I find myself being in bondage of my own self, imprisoning my own self through my thoughts and all this shit when it comes to that. And it hasn't changed, man. You know what I mean? I've been single for a couple years now. I've walked away from that situation. I've completely cut ties with this woman prior, recently opened that door back open. Back to square one, bro. Sick as fuck. Last night I was up on stage, you know what I mean? And like, I'm getting complimented by beautiful women all around this conference, you know what I'm saying? I don't do bad in the area of women, but I'm telling you, like, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, I want what I want, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just in my head the whole time, dude. I'm not enjoying the moment, you know what I mean? I'm not enjoying the moment. And that's a result of being stuck in self. You know what I mean? That's a result of being stuck in self. That's a result of totally sabotaging this whole situation, of me being a part of this conference, me being a part of the bid, the host committee, for the past 2 years to put on this amazing conference, you know what I mean? And totally be in my head about one fucking situation that truly doesn't matter, and that puts me back in that square one position of settling for less than what I deserve. You know what I mean? And I know that to be true in my heart. I'm a fucking alcoholic, man, and I'm a fucking human being at the end of the day, and I struggle with shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm man enough to admit that. But guess what? I had brothers to rely on. I had amazing fucking people come up to me afterwards. Like I said, getting compliments from women isn't a bad thing as well, but the brothers who I relied on to sit there and talk me out of my head, right? And it took me a little while after the meeting was over, but ultimately, it worked, man. You know what I mean? Sitting there having those conversations with those men, and you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's crazy how my relationships save my ass every day. You know what I mean? Like, the relationships that I have with the people who I love the most, and who I've gotten to know most, and like the brothers I have in this program is beautiful. Yeah, if it wasn't for those relationships, I don't know if I'd be here. I know for damn sure if I didn't have a relationship with God, I definitely wouldn't be here. Yeah, man, it's cool to be here. I remember I was thinking yesterday, and this is all God, but like I was thinking, I'm like, damn, like it's cool to be a part of the fun shit. And when it comes to these conferences, you know what I mean? But like I put my like fucking heart into this, and I'm so passionate about this program. Like, damn, dude, like I wish I could just been on a panel at least, man. You know what I mean? Just at least, you know what I mean? And then he comes and asks me out of nowhere, like, hey, can you speak on this panel? All men. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, that's where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Because if there was women in here, I wouldn't be as vulnerable. I wouldn't be as honest. I'm completely opposite, man. Like now, you know what I mean? It's funny, it's ironic how it switched, but now like I'm a little less vulnerable with the women, unless I want to be, but I'm 100% transparent to you men. You know what I'm saying? Because you get it, you understand. And not only that, you can help guide and direct me to get to where I want to be. So thank you guys, love you. Pastor Dan.
Thank you, Joey. At this time, we still got a few minutes we could take questions. I'll repeat the question, and then whomever wants to come share, if it's directed towards one of the panelists themselves, they'll come up here and speak on it. The question is, any gentlemen struggle with relationships with their father?
Participation, bro, go for it.
All right, my name's Kyle, I'm an alcoholic.
So I've kind of got a big one here. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. My sobriety date is 6/9/2018. So I have experience with my father leaving my mother before I was born. The divorce was finalized 2 months after I was born. I did my amends process. I did about 25 or 30 amends, and my sponsor and I got together. We wrote a script. I wrote down all the things that I had, where I had been harmful to him, and my actions have been harmful to him. I asked him to dinner. And before we went to dinner, I read from the script, and I was vulnerable, I was honest, and I shared how I had been superficial in the relationship with him, because I was holding things against him for him living his life the way he wanted to live his life. He married a woman who was very angry and mean to his kids, but loved their kids. And there was a lot of resentment there. There was really a lot of resentment there. And because I opened the door and made amends for my wrongs in our relationship, I took responsibility for my part in our relationship. And that, we were both sitting in his car and we're both in tears, and we've never been in tears with each other. We've never been super emotional with each other. It's always been superficial. Oh, yeah, I'm doing good. Oh, yeah, I'm doing really good. I call him when I'm doing great. Or, you know, he lets me know when he's doing good, you know. But when I did that amends and I said my part, a few minutes later, he choked up, said, I could have done better too. And the next five mornings when I did my morning meditation, I had the most peace I've had in sobriety. So if you have problems with your father, get with your sponsor, write it out, and share that shit, man. It has been, like, healing to actually just to let that happen. And now we've had a relationship, but our relationship is better today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. He was man. Good, cool.
Share on it?
I mean, yeah.
So I was going to share on what someone asked about relationship with your dad, and then he was giving input.
Yeah, I mean.
Run that shit.
Fuck.
Run that shit.
James Jacobs Meyer, 82114. Jeff's my sponsor.
Fuck. Okay, so I recently made a trip out to LA to make amends with my dad. He's 74 years old. He did or tried AA a while back. I don't know if it worked. I don't think it did, or maybe he didn't do it and then disappeared. And then my mom, you know, so he chose religious. He's extremist, you know what I mean? All he talks about is Jesus, this, the Bible, this and that. And my mom sees my dad and me. And then I go through 10 years of wreckage, destroying everything in my path. And then I get sober through AA. And then my mom's resenting me for doing what he did, but he didn't continue with that. So it's just this long, drawn-out mess. And I consider myself a Christian, you know, but at the same time, I have prejudice and kind of hatred and resentment against organized religion, because I felt like that's the one thing that has kept my family separated. You know, that fine line between religious extremist and, you know, just believing in a God and trying to be a good person, you know. And so, I don't know, man. I went out there and I made amends because he's not sick, as far as I know. He beat cancer 3 times, but he lives out there, goes out into the streets of LA and tells people what God they should believe in. You know, he's telling the unity in Jesus and that. But I don't know how much longer he has on this earth. And so I felt like I needed to go and make amends while he's still here, clear that wreckage. And he in turn also made amends to me for, you know, not having the best childhood, whatever. But it's not like we're cool still. It's kind of like we're still strangers, you know, like he's just obsessed with one thing and one thing only. And he clarified to me that he's out there doing what he's doing because that's the best thing for him and us. Whatever, you know, if he's happy and he's sober, you know, do your thing, you know. I'm still not, you know, kind of torn about it, but I made my amends, I cleared my wreckage, and he's doing good, you know, and and hopefully, you know, it can just be at that, you know, and because if he died and I didn't make that amends, you know, I probably would really be hating myself, you know. And so I just, the best that we can do on a daily basis to clear that wreckage, and the rest is up to God, you know, and just try to go with the flow and do the right thing. And so make your amends, you know, tomorrow could be too late, you know, now's the time. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, question from the floor.
So I relapsed over a chick in California. Well, I can't blame it on her. I used her as an excuse to go out, but I was going to go out by myself. And we're talking again. She's clean, I'm clean. But that same shit's happening again to where she doesn't answer the phone, I feel sick. Or if she answers the phone, I'm good. You know what I mean? Or we're in the middle of conversation, she stops texting me, and I'm like, what the fuck is this chick doing in California right now? You know, I'm ready to take off and go to California. What I'm trying to do right now, what I'm trying to get myself to do, is the exact opposite of what I want to do. What I want to do is continue this relationship, but I know inside that I'm going to indulge myself in her and make her my higher power again. And it scares the shit out of me because I can already feel it happening. So my question is, I need suggestions.
The question is suggestions on...
On what the hell
I should do in this relationship. Facts.
Billy, alcoholic. So basically making a woman your higher power, right? Okay. So as we all touched on, pretty much, we all have history with women, and you know that pink dope can be really overwhelming, and it can suck you in like this. It's like a succubus, you feel me? It's like, but for real though, I mean, like, wait, like you were saying, like, with, like, you know, she don't answer the phone, you're like, what are you doing? That's just our own high chances are she's probably just busy living her own life, and it's just your own head trying to kill you. It's your own head trying to make you spin and shit. You got this washing machine going on around and around, you're spinning ideas. Because I do the same fucking shit, dude, all day long. Why ain't you text me? Why ain't you on schedule? You said you were going to be home at this time, blah, 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 blah. I do the same shit, dude. And it's that matter of just, before you think about, like, What are you doing? Why aren't you picking up the phone? It's a matter of stopping and thinking about, like, huh, what would I do if she was thinking that? What if I was busy and she was trying to call me and I didn't pick up the phone? What would she think that I was doing? I'm just living my life. I have a life too. I can't be there at every waking moment when you call. Because I think the same way. I'm like, you're my partner. You're supposed to pick up whenever the fuck I call. Don't you know who the fuck I am? You know, like, I mean, seriously though, I mean, that whole thinking cycle of just switching that around, I mean, it's very, very hard, especially with women, because you're like, I'm in control. You're going to pick up the phone when I call. You're going to answer when I text. You're going to do this. You're going to do that, blah, 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 blah. It's that whole cycle of switching it around. And instead of making them your higher power and worry about what they're doing, you should be worrying about what you're doing in your own life. Finding things to get out of yourself when you're thinking, oh, what is she doing? Oh, hey, well, I could be hanging out with my friends. I could be at this event. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. I could be calling my sponsor instead of calling her and be like, where the fuck you at, bitch? Why ain't you picking up? You know, call your sponsor and, you know, figure that instead of calling them out and be like tripping out on them when you ain't even focused on your own damn life. You're worried about what they're doing. That's a higher power. So my suggestion is to continue to search to find that power greater than yourself that you can believe in. And when you're in that moment, stop, pray before you say anything. Don't respond. Don't feed into that negative ego bullshit. Don't you know who I am? Why aren't you answering? Where are you at? Because I deal with that shit all the time. You know, I mean, it's really, I'll be honest with you, it's really, really hard to, like, not indulge in that shit. Because I can go from 1 second, because there's a lot of times where I'll send a message and be like, does it really take 24 minutes to get home or blah, blah, blah? And then, like, a split second after I sent the message, I'm like, well, damn, it's rush hour and there's probably hella traffic. You know what I mean? I'm like, why couldn't I just pause for that 1 second before I sent that message? And now it's going to cause a little drama fight, which is irrelevant in our relationship. So just find that higher power greater than yourself and stop and pray. That's all I got.
Can I say a quick comment from the floor?
We got a question.
Okay.
All right, it's me, my
father. It's me.
So, you know, you do white paw, you know, you meet chicks, and, you know, you go to so many white paws, and you meet so many chicks, and then all of a sudden, you know, these chicks start accumulating in white paw. What do you do? And I'm asking this for a friend.
So the question is, what do you do when you've accumulated a lot of friends in YPAW, and how to handle that situation?
Yeah, my buddy, he's outside.
If we're a friend,
yeah.
Word.
You can be honest with
YPAW. No, this is recorded. I don't know what's going on.
That's right.
My name's Alan. I'm an alcoholic. So maybe not this specific fellowship, right? But there's a guy over here who already knows that I struggled with that, right? Whoever your friend is, I don't know. But I struggled with that, right? Because I got a fucking ego. And then I do so much AA shit. And I'm outreaching all over the country and other countries for this other fellowship. And all these people are meeting me. And a lot of them are women. And they're coming into my life trying to get saved or save me, right? And it fucking boosts my ego more. I'm like, fuck, this is great. And what happens? I spread myself thin like fucking butter.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And the only person that's hurting is me, right? It's not causing them as much harm, right? Because there's so fucking many of them. And they're probably doing the same fucking thing. So tell your friend that he's not butter and he's a human being, right? He's a fucking human being and he has a heart and a soul, and that shit is like important, right? It hurts to have pain, dude. and it will come back to bite him in the ass. And if he continues to do it, what does the book say, right? He's going to get loaded, right? If he continues to cause harm to others, or more importantly, himself, because this is a selfish program. I don't know, bro. I have a lot of experience with that. Somehow, God's kept me sober, right? And I'm not willing to make that decision anymore. Talk to your friend.
I'll pass.
Sorry, fellas. We're out of time on this panel. I know. Look. I mean, fuck it. Let's run it. I mean, no. Well, it won't be recorded, but I mean, we're men. We can sit here and talk. What you got, brother?
I'm in recovery. My name is Darius.
What's up, Darius? Cool.
To my man right here.